Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Okay, if we're giving random shout-outs to Chicago radio shows, Parkins and Spiegel, obviously the best.
Afternoons on the Score.
Second base. Lau feeds the final out, and Tampa Bay has won the series opener. Final count 5-2 from Guaranteed Rate Field. Tampa Bay continues to play great baseball. The Sox take their first loss in their last five games.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
And joining us now on the Parkins and Spiegel Show, we'll have the mayor of Arlington Heights in about 40 minutes to talk about if the Bears are ever moving out of downtown. And Lance Lynn from the White Sox will join us just after 4:20 or so when he gets off from on-field warm-ups. But one of our favorite guests is on the line right now. He's the sports media critic and columnist for The Athletic, Richard Deitch, back with us on the Score. Richard, good afternoon. How are you doing today?
First, always good to be in Chicago, one of the world's great cities. Second, good booking. I like you guys have coming up. Third, I hate the word critic. You're welcome to call me it, but it really does sound like somebody who's like sitting in like a tweed jacket, like reviewing Broadway and stuff. You know, I like to think of myself as a writer for my New York roots. I mean, again, you're welcome to call me critic, but that word really does suck. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, you're Rex Reed. You know, you're breaking down movies.
Rex Reed. Going back to my, I feel like I'm like a 7-year old now, staying up late watching Channel 9 after a Met game and seeing Rex Reed. review The Towering Inferno or something like that. Yeah, you're correct on that. Good old school reference there.
I liked your method of criticism, Mr. Critic, too, by the way. You paid me two compliments on the front end. Like, good intro, liked who was coming up,
yeah,
good
I'm a
booking.
The irony is I'm a terrible critic. Not that you guys care about this, but I'll entertain your audience on it. Like, from everything I understood for the people who write sports media for a long time, and I'm now, I don't know what it is, 13, 14 years. Somebody should shoot me because it's too long. But you supposedly go one of two ways. You go one like the angry curmudgeon, like Phil Mushnick like style, where every baseball player is horrible if they don't run full speed from home to first. Or you start to sort of, I think have a better, broader perspective on even bad radio or bad TV or bad production is hard. And I'm happy to say I've gone that way. Like, I've gotten softer, in my opinion, as I've gotten older, which I also think may be a reason I should get out of this soon. And I should honestly do something like legitimate for a living, as opposed to the nonsense I've been doing the last two decades.
Oh, disagree.
Anyway, great to be with you guys.
Disagree, because you're appreciating things and you're realizing that time is fleeting, perhaps, as you get older. And like Roger Ebert became a better writer as he got older and less curmudgeonly. So, and follow that muse, Deitch. Just go ahead. Be you.
Yeah, yep. I don't know. Isn't the world heading towards like the Baylissian way where I should be criticized your show for not being clutch or something like that? I mean, I appreciate what you're saying, but it seems the world is heading into a different place.
You'd get more retweets. I know that.
That's true. All right.
And more views
anyway, I filibustered so long. I feel like a member of Congress. I apologize for that.
Not a problem. So here's what happened to us yesterday, and the Cubs are on ESPN again tonight, and the White Sox are arguably the best team in baseball, and the Rays are a top three team in the sport. And so we were talking about it yesterday that, man, it'd be nice if when Lance Lynn's playing, you know, against Tyler Glasnow, two of the top three teams, the defending American League pennant winner, a couple of playoff teams, if Major League Baseball could use, you know, the MLB network and look into that game. But I know that there's probably blackout restrictions with Monday Night Baseball and all of that. So our question in a general sense to you is, what could baseball do to get great games or matchups that just pop up based on how the schedule emerges in front of a national television audience, or is that an impossibility?
Well, it's very hard to do for the Sunday night broadcast because that's in advance. ESPN has a certain amount of games that are exclusive. They pick that schedule. I don't know exactly how many weeks or months in advance, but it's in advance. Obviously, ESPN is going to pick big markets, teams that they think can get the biggest ratings. I don't think that's always a smart strategy because, to me, I think you're ultimately in a better place if you're really invested in the product long-term to feature teams that you think are going to be great this year, even if they're not from a big market. The White Sox obviously don't fit into that because obviously Chicago's a big market. But, yes, the Cubs historically are a better national brand for an ESPN. I think their only option on stuff like that is to put it on MLB Network and to figure out what the restrictions would be with the local RSN. But, you know, from my understanding, and this does get into the, you know, a little more of the business side that I don't particularly love, but the for most sports, I know this for certainly for basketball, the league can talk to its league partners and generally speaking sort of change contractual things on the fly in order to get, let's say, a game that like has a national kind of following. I remember a couple of years ago, it's probably more than a couple of years ago, but when the Golden State Warriors were heading for that, I don't know if it was 73 wins. I think it was 73 wins. Yeah. Top the Bulls or whatever that was.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA stepped in and got some national coverage on those games so that people could see them go after the record. So yeah, I think in theory, MLB could use MLB Network to do that, but they're not going to, as a general rule, you know, ESPN picks its games ahead of time, and MLB's probably not going to step in and ask for something different, and certainly not like in June or July, where ESPN at this point is honestly just trying to get a little bit of ratings momentum. And, you know, the reason people see the Cubs and the Red Sox and the Yankees, there's a reason for it, and ESPN can historically show you those are the teams that draw the best nationally.
We're talking to Richard Deitch, sports media writer from The Athletic. We'll continue this conversation momentarily with Matt Spiegel, but the White Sox have announced Nick Madrigal out for the season. So that hamstring injury, worst case scenario, as we suspected yesterday, Speaks.
Yeah, out for the year. They were debating whether to have surgery or not, and they decided to go for that. And a rough go for the White Sox, who have lost multiple people. But you know what? More Danny Mendick for everybody.
Yes.
And there will be time.
I just saw these guys because, you know, I live in Toronto now, so I just saw the White Sox playing the Blue Jays. White Sox are a good team, even with their injuries. That is a very, very tough team with some really good starting pitching. And I can just tell you from afar, had you asked me in April what would have happened, I would have thought they would have imploded with Tony La Russa coming in. I could not have been more wrong on that prediction.
Yeah, no, it's been a very, very interesting to watch and observe in a sport, Richard, where you know the manager, the boss in this situation, speaks more than any other sport. So La Russa talks every day, twice a day, and it's potential to step in it and for awkwardness, and there's certainly been a fair share, but a lot of moves have worked out really well. I want to follow up on something you said. So it's interesting. So the NBA does have a history of working with their national partners maybe to swap in a game, and you were talking about MLB maybe, you know, probably not. You're talking about MLB not able to swap in a game. Are they allowed to run a game opposite their national partners? Like, leave that game on ESPN last night, Cubs-Mets on ESPN last night,
right?
But could they choose Tyler Glasnow, Lance Lynn will also be available on MLB Network? Or would do the national partners have exclusivity in that moment?
Yeah, well, ESPN has exclusivity on Sunday night, so they're not doing that, again, unless something crazy happens where, and again, nothing like this can happen in June. I'm not even sure this would happen, but if you play,
but last night was Monday night baseball.
Yeah, like in September, you know, let's say like the races are just crazy tight. There's two games on. There's two like massive games of meaning. Like MLB could, you know, and they, let's say the games would be on at the same time, although probably wouldn't happen because, you know, they usually just schedule one game late.
Yeah, but talk,
you know,
about Monday. Theory, but this was a Monday last night were the issue. So
no,
like
no,
the
I
extra
get, I understand.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm getting to that. So, yeah, I mean, there's less – I'd have to see the contract, but I'm not sure Monday night is an exclusive night for any national carrier. So I think they would have more flexibility on that day. The only thing I know about the baseball national contract regular season is that ESPN does have contractual exclusivity, and I don't think, honestly, there's a way to change that up, although I know that ESPN does have the option of, you know, if they do a StatCast or something like that, I guess, to do two games. You'd really just need to, and I obviously don't have access to this, you'd really just need to see the literal letter of the contract or literal the language of the contract to see what, you know, sort of see what clauses ESPN has and if there's any flexibility for the league. Because, you know, listen, if you're ESPN, there's a reason you're paying multiple millions of dollars, and you're paying multiple millions of dollars to have exclusivity on a certain night.
Richard, I read that ESPN was getting out of Monday night and Wednesday night baseball going forward. What
True.
Interest do you expect there to be for the weeknight national baseball broadcast package?
I mean, there'll be interest. It's really just a question of what the money figure would be. You know, baseball is still a national sport. It's still inventory, right? So, like, if you're a streaming service or a sports network that is in this business, like, it's still, you know, it's a top five sport, but its value is very, very different in 2021. Than, you know, it would have been in the 1990. There's a lot more options for people to choose from, not just in sports, but in, you know, any kind of entertainment choice. And the reality is, like, because there's 162 games, the uniqueness of a Monday-Wednesday package for baseball is just much different than if it was an NFL package or I mean, even honestly, an NHL or an NBA package, where it's just, again, we're talking 80 games, 82
Fox,
games as opposed to
Fox, Turner. Who would you think would even want to be involved there?
I would look to basically what I think all of those places are looking to add inventory for their streaming service. So I would look to I'd look to Fox. I'd look to NBC for Peacock. I'd look to CBS for Paramount. I realize these places, it's certainly CBS right now, doesn't have any baseball, sort of baseball inventory at the moment. I think Turner is always a factor in any of this because they are trying to build up their streaming services, as well as, you know, they just partnered with Discovery. So they have a lot of money and they're flush, and they believe live sports is a way to bring in subscribers to their streaming service. So I would look to them. And then I think Amazon, is always a factor too, given that Amazon Prime now went very big for the NFL. So they've spent a fortune on those rights. Amazon globally has expanded. Not too long ago, they just paid a fortune of money for the French soccer league domestically in France, which is millions and millions of dollars. So those are the kind of places I would look to. Again, you know, it's really, and you probably, a baseball reporter would have probably a little bit of a better sense than me, is, you know, what's the commissioner's office thinking right now in terms of how do they feel about games being essentially behind a paywall, like nationally? And generally speaking, for the most part, if baseball follows other sports, they're fine if the check is big enough. Like, they're willing to put inventory now behind a paywall as long as, you know, the jewel events like the playoffs and stuff are either on cable or on over-the-air TV. But, yeah, I would not – if you told me 3 years from now, like a Monday night or Wednesday night sort of package was on a Amazon Prime or Paramount Plus or something like that, I would not be surprised at all.
Last thing for you, Richard. Saturday night, Fox TV brought their huge truck, all their cameras, all their people, and did a baseball game as normal at Wrigley Field. Sunday night, ESPN used the Cubs feed and got one camera that they can control, and had their guys broadcasting from Bristol. As the world emerges from the restrictions of the pandemic, how much of it is just corporate financial choice in terms of recreating what used to be in terms of travel for broadcast and coverage? And like, is it all going to be based on just corporations choosing to spend or not?
Well, I think I actually believe initially that it was about health and safety. Like, I don't think that was BS. Yeah, they saved money, but I think all of these networks really did not want to put their employees in harm's way. Now that the pandemic, you know, you knock on wood here, is ebbing in the U.S. and Canada. Now the question becomes, all right, in terms of all these different sports, like, how much are you willing to allocate in terms of production costs? And are you, how do you view producing things on site with broadcasters on site, which is a far better product, versus doing things remotely? Like you said, you know, using, let's say in this case, the Cubs production facilities and calling a game from Bristol. My sense is that these networks are going to opt for cost savings, and that's going to become more of the norm. I don't think that's going to happen again for like the postseason or major games of significance. Let's say if you're Fox and let's say you only have one game a week, I think you may spend the money to be on site. But I think these places that have a ton of inventory, particularly ESPN, I think they're going to opt for cost savings. To me, the more interesting question, the bigger question is, what are these regional sports networks going to do? You know, the YES networks and the marquees and places like that, like, will they decide to send their people on the road, or are they really just going to basically be like, we can save so much money, we're willing to deal with whatever the public criticism is because you love your Cubs and you love your White Sox and you're going to pay for this anyway. That's, to me, the one to watch. But if you were asking me to take a guess, I think all these places, honestly, are going to err on the side of cost savings until, like, you know, the postseason or something like that, when I think they would travel, you know, they send a team to travel to the visiting stadium.
Hope you're wrong, but it's a sensible guess. Richard Deitch from
too.
Yeah, Richard Deitch from The Athletic. Thank you, as always, for the time and insight, man. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Richard. As long as he went there specifically to Marquee, I think you talk to folks over there, Danny, they want to travel. They're like, they feel like they're beholden to MLB and restrictions right now. But I think they'll travel soon, and if they're allowed to.
Yeah, I would be surprised if in this market, NBC Sports Chicago and Marquee did not travel TV. I'd be surprised.
So would I.
Big market, big money, big fan base, high quality broadcast, take a lot of pride in it. Broadcasters with national cachet.
True.
Right. I'd be surprised if they would be willing to be looked at as AAA or, you know, Mickey Mouse or something like that. Now, Oakland A's TV, Kansas City Royals TV, places like that, could I see them doing how Richard's talking about it? Yeah, but I'd be very surprised if NBC Sports Chicago and Marquee did not travel as soon as possible. The mayor of Arlington Heights will join us at 3:40 to talk about the rumors around the Bears heading out there. We can react more to the Nick Madrigal news, and yes, play the audio that Spiegs talked about 25 minutes ago with what the hell Chris Collinsworth got Matt Nagy to say on his podcast. It's Parkinson Spiegel on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Little tapper, third base side.
No.
Out the call at first. Now look, the Sox don't have a challenge. And Madrigal's hurt behind first base.
Well, they're going to challenge, but the most important part of this is that a man that's getting better and better looks like he might have hit the bag wrong.
Tony La Russa out of the dugout to check on Madrigal.
He's up and standing. He's not going to be able to walk back by himself, however.
Well, unfortunately, it's a conversation we've had before, and that is you're not going to just hear us say, hey, we'll bring somebody in and plug him in, we'll be okay, because that disrespects what Nick is and what he's done. So you got to definitely respect. It's just like we did with Eloy and Luis and, you know, whatever. But at the same time, the games do go on. And we just hope that it's not something where it's a, you know, big tear that puts him out for a long time. Keep our fingers crossed. But, I mean, he's a big, big part of our club. And while he's unavailable, we have to keep playing and somebody will step up.
He's gone. And we couldn't do nothing about it.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Really tough news to have another Goodfellas treatment for a White Sox player so soon. In many ways, it's been the season of hell when it comes for health, but they keep overcoming it on the field, which is incredible. The news released from the team, they've elected to have surgery on the torn hamstring, so Nick Madrigal is out for the season, Spiegs. And just yesterday, I think it was yesterday, I asked you and Lawrence in transition if conventional wisdom was correct for Rick Hahn, right-handed relief pitcher and outfielder as additions at the trade deadline. I've got to think, and you tell me if I'm wrong. I know you say you like Danny Mendick, and sure, it's been admirable, but Jake Lamb, Leury García, Danny Mendick, those are your starting second baseman and backups for Moncada and Anderson. I'd have to think that with this Madrigal news and the hope that Eloy is coming back, you know, maybe in middle of August, late August, that all of a sudden infield depth goes to the top of Rick Hahn's needs here with this Madrigal news.
I don't know. I guess I was already thinking that Madrigal was going to be out for a good long time, and I really do believe that Danny Mendick is a big leaguer capable of playing for an extended stretch. And, you know,
where's your depth, though? Like, you know, you got to back up at a lot of different positions. Like, who's your backup infielder that you trust for Anderson and Moncada and Mendick, right? Like, García? That's the guy?
Yeah, I mean, Mendick is your backup shortstop. And
but now he's your
Mendick is also your backup third baseman. And Leury is going to play there as well. You know, beyond those guys, yeah, you got issues. Anybody I'm forgetting here, Tanny, co-host of the Locked On Sox podcast?
No, they're very thin at this point, and you're starting to see a lot of articles out there. You're talking about Adam Frazier, and I wonder if there's, you know, it's obviously the one that makes the most sense here. But, yeah, they can't withstand another injury in the middle infield for sure.
They can't withstand another one, but as it stands right now, they're not desperate.
Absolutely, not desperate. But if anything this year has told you, it's that can never have too many options. And right now, I don't think they have any, especially with Moncada out of the lineup again. You know, they're very thin right now. And if you could guarantee health for everyone in the infield the rest of the year, I'd be like, yeah, I'm cool with Danny Mendick being out there. But I just don't think they have that comfort, as we've seen everything that's transpired this year.
Well, I don't think you make a preemptive trade for someone of the magnitude of Adam Frazier when you don't have to.
Well, if you can get better at any position, you evaluate that, right? So, you know, if you can upgrade from Danny Mendick, who is probably best utilized as a utility guy, play him, all, you know, even play the outfield this year. Like, having him in the fold still, still, I think, is good. But if you can upgrade anywhere, I think they look at it.
I wonder if we see Jake Berger play any innings at second base in the next week or so.
It's an interesting thing.
Big boy can get around second base.
It's a large man to play second base. It has happened before. Travis Shaw is a big second baseman. Jonathan Scope is a big second baseman.
Stereo, yeah.
Jonathan Scope, an interesting trade target option from a terrible team in Detroit. A moment about Adam Frazier, Danny Parkins. He's leading the National League in hits and leading the National League in doubles. He's got an OPS over 8 right now. This is the best year of his career, but he's a solid defensive second baseman. And he's under contract, not just for this year, but also next year. He's arbitration eligible next year. So he's making 4.3 mil right now, but then he's just entering his arbitration year. So there is control here. There's 3 years of arbitration and or control for that guy. But he's good, and you'd be committing to playing him somewhere over the next couple of years. I think he is a trade acquisition that you'd have to give up a bunch for. So I don't know that they would do it just yet. With a 4.5 game lead in the American League Central, the Indians ravaged by pitching injuries and no real competition right now.
They don't have much competition for the division, but if the goal is the World Series, you shouldn't be comparing yourself to the Central. You should be comparing yourself to the Rays, who just had the Glasnow injury, obviously, and the Red Sox, and then whoever comes out of the National League. Like, that's if the goal is still this year, despite the injuries, we care about the World Series. We don't know about, you know, I mean, next year, Lance Lynn, who's joining us in a little bit less than an hour, Lance Lynn could be gone, and Carlos Rodon could have priced himself out of being here, and all of a sudden you've got a lot of question marks in your rotation for next year's team. So with how good the pitching has been right now, it still could be the best chance for the White Sox to win a World Series, given how down the division is and what their path is. I don't know if it'll be Frazier, if it'll be that big of an investment, but I think middle infield depth and versatility is going to be pretty high on his wish list.
Makes sense. Here's a text. Speaks, we get it. You love baseball. Everyone's a good player. But enough with the Danny Mendick talk. Guy's a utility player at best. Is everyone a good player? Do I say everyone's good? Am I guilty of that?
I mean, you do see the positive vibes, babe.
Remember Shelby Miller?
I do remember Shelby Miller. It's a good one.
Yadier Molina 10 years from now will still be a top three catcher in baseball.
No, he will not. I'll tell you who's not good. Right now, can I tell you somebody who's really not good? Jake Arrieta. Really deeply not good. Ungood. And, you know, the need for starting pitching is vital because that's your fifth starter. And I don't, Vamoose, if they go out and they get themselves a big old arm, I could see Jake getting vamoosed at some point along the way here if the results continue like this.
Well, I'm going to derail your negative baseball conversation because it made me uncomfortable. We've got the mayor coming on in a minute. Not the mayor of Chicago, the mayor of Arlington.
Thank
Heights.
God.
Mike Florio was on the station today addressing the Bears' future or potentially lack thereof in the city of Chicago limits.
Well, and here's the reality. These comments aren't made spontaneously or accidentally. This guy wouldn't be saying these things if he didn't have reason to think that there was some merit to it. And Chicago, for me, has been a market that I've circled for years now as the potential location in time of two NFL teams like New York or LA. That's one of the ways to help justify paying for a gigantic state-of-the-art stadium. You have two teams playing there, you get 20 games a year instead of 10 games a year. And I firmly believe it'll happen, but it's something I'm keeping an eye on because I believe at some point in the next 5 years, we're going to start hearing talk of expansion of the NFL. And, you know, how many viable cities are there? And if you can put two teams in Chicago in a brand new stadium, it makes a lot of sense for everyone. And the NFL, I believe, is going to be looking to go to 34 or 36 teams because the gambling revenue is going to justify greater inventory. You can only get so much inventory by expanding the season. At some point, you got to expand the league. So I've been thinking about Chicago as a two-team market for a while now, and this kind of fits in with that thinking. New stadium, bigger stadium, two teams. easier to pay for the stadium, and off we go.
That's Mike Florio. That's the backdrop of the conversation. Thomas Hayes, the mayor of Arlington Heights, on the chances of the Bears or another NFL team moving to Arlington Heights. Next on The Score.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Well, I've seen a couple of reports, but a couple of data points that I think you should be aware of. The Bears have a lease with Soldier Field till 2033, and the NFL doesn't let any teams break their leases. We have a good working relationship with the Bears. I was just on a call with a senior leadership in the last 2 weeks. So there are things that they'd like to see differently at Soldier Field, and we want to do whatever we can to accommodate it. It's a great iconic site, but it's a challenging site, and I think it's incumbent upon us as a city to step up and look at ways in which we can make sure that the Bears fans, but also the Bears as an organization, have the best opportunities to maximize the fan experience and, of course, maximize revenue. So we're going to keep those conversations going. So that's where they are.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on The Score.
That's Mayor Lori Lightfoot. In 40 minutes, we'll talk to Lance Lynn. We also will be giving away a four-pack of tickets to a Cubs game later on today. To get Cubs tickets, go to Cubs.com/tickets. But joining us now on the Parkins and Spiegel Show is the mayor of Arlington Heights, Tom Hayes, with us on The Score. Tom, thank you very much for the time. How are you doing today?
Good, thanks. Hey, thanks for having me. I'm a day one Score listener, but a first-time caller, so thanks for the opportunity.
First time ever on the station? Really?
That's Tom? It. Yep, it is.
Well, that's surprising, considering Arlington Heights and the Bears seems to be a rumor that pops up every 5 to 7 years, doesn't it? This thing goes back a while.
It does go back a long time. I've been on the board for 30 years now, but it goes back well before that time into the mid-70s when the Bears actually came very close to moving to Arlington Heights.
So what's the status of the latest relationship or lack thereof between the Bears' future and Arlington Heights?
Well, as I think everybody knows, today is what we understand to be a soft deadline for submittal of initial proposals for redevelopment of the Arlington Park Racecourse property here in Arlington Heights. We knew from the start that the Bears were the elephant in the room. And so I told our people, you know, when we learned of the sale, that we need to find out what the Bears might be interested in doing. And so we reached out to the Bears front office with a letter just advising them that we're here to answer any questions that they have and be happy to explore the possibility with them. We've not heard anything definite, but we have not heard that they're not interested. So until we hear that, we're going to consider it on the table.
Mr. Mayor, in the 70s, as you mentioned, George Halas flat out said that they hoped to be in Arlington Heights. And then again in the 80s, and Michael McCaskey had brought it up as a possibility. Was Arlington Heights used as leverage in those times? And is there a possibility that Arlington Heights could be used again for the Bears to negotiate a better lease in Chicago?
Yeah, I guess that's always possible, guys. But we look to the positive aspects of it in that they're even considering Arlington Heights is a real feather in our cap. And so this is a real prime piece of real estate located not just in Arlington Heights, but in the northwest suburbs where a lot of the Bears fan base is. And so I know there are a lot of people who would be very excited, including myself, to see the Bears in Arlington Heights.
Just to clarify, as we're talking to the mayor of Arlington Heights, Tom Hayes, the Bears did not respond to your letter at all, or did they respond and say, we'll let you know?
Yeah, that's the latter, really. You know, they acknowledged the receipt of the letter, but we have not had any actual meetings with them, but they have not told us that they are not interested. And so we're very anxiously awaiting, as I know you guys are and everybody else, to see if they actually submit a bid today.
So what's the deadline for that, by the way, the actual deadline?
It's a soft deadline today. I don't know that they have a real firm hour, you know, by 5 o'clock or so. But, you know, it's possible that no one will submit a bid that Churchill Downs is really interested in today. And then they'll extend the deadline to another date in the near future. So it really is a soft deadline today. But I think we'll get a pretty good idea of what the interest is.
So let's say, for the sake of conversation, that you did hear today from George McCaskey and Ted Phillips, and they said, Tom, we're interested in Arlington Heights. Pitch us. Why should the Bears be interested in going to that facility and coming to your suburb? What's your pitch to the Bears?
Well, as I said, it's a very prime piece of real estate, 326 acres in the heart of the northwest suburbs with the northwest Union Pacific rail line that has a rail station right there. It's right adjacent to Route 53, and it's accessible to people coming from the north, south, east, or west, where, as I said, a lot of the fan base is. And so Arlington Heights has a great reputation. I don't know if you guys knew, Walter Payton lived here when he was first married in 1976 and first with the Bears. And so we've got a long history with the Bears and their fan base. And so I think we've got a lot to offer them.
The accessibility issues that you bring up are very attractive to fans because it's really, really difficult to get to Soldier Field and there's not a lot of parking. You guys could have a lot of parking lots and room for tailgating. 61.5 is the capacity of Soldier Field. You could theoretically accommodate, what, an 80,000-seat stadium with a retractable roof, something that could host a Super Bowl, something that could host a Final Four. Things like that are conceivably on the table in Arlington Heights. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And that's what we would envision is a year-round facility that would attract events like that, that would maximize the potential for that 326 acres. And so that's what I'm looking to do as the mayor of Arlington Heights, put that piece of property to its highest and best use. And I know if the Bears were to come, there would be some other associated redevelopment of that entire parcel that would really maximize the revenue from that site.
The Bears' lease goes till 2033. Do you think it's even viable that they could break that lease and or buy their way out to get to you?
Yeah, I don't know the specifics of it, but I know that where there's a will, there's a way. And so, you know, if the Bears and the NFL, I think in particular, are really interested in this move, then it can happen.
Tom, is there a scenario where an NFL team plays in Arlington Heights, but it's not the Chicago Bears, and we become a two-team town?
You know, a resident sent me an email about that possibility today. And so certainly I think that's something that could be explored. I mean, why can't Chicago be a two-team NFL city?
So as we're talking to the mayor of Arlington Heights here, Tom Hayes, on the Parkinson Spiegel Show on The Score, if not the Bears, what is your hope for that site where Arlington Park has been for so long?
Well, you mentioned what is really great about the facility is that it's been in Arlington Heights for almost 100 years. It opened in 1927. We've got the Horsehead logo on our village flag and our village logo pin. So if it were not to be the Bears or another professional sports team, we'd love to see horse racing continue there as long as it will be a viable going concern. You know, that's always been the concern in the last few years is whether or not horse racing is even viable in the state or around the country. So if it is going to be continued horse racing, we want to make sure that it's someone who can dedicate themselves to making it successful for decades to come.
I know that there is a bid that's going to be submitted by Roy Arnold, the former Arlington Park president, leading a group that hopes to keep the track and add other amenities. How would you feel about a full-functioning casino and a sports book? Like, is that even a possibility with the state of licenses in Illinois?
That's a very complicated question because of the need for the state legislature to approve those kinds of things. But we don't have any local control here. But that's one of the reasons why Churchill Downs is selling the property, because they did not want to build a casino there to compete with their other entity in Rosemont. And so certainly I think that has to be a component of any successful racing track in Arlington Heights or anywhere, is an expanded gambling. And so I think that does have to be considered if they do want to continue horse racing there.
Well, that was actually going to be my question. So if it's not the Bears, and I think it's not very likely that it is going to be the Bears, I know, to your chagrin, but and then there's not going to be a casino at Arlington Park, but then you said, but we'd want it to be horse racing, but we need it to be a viable venue. How do you make horse racing viable in 2021 with no casino?
Well, that's a good question. And that's what we've asked, the people that have approached us about keeping it a horse racing track. And, you know, they believe that their management team, their investment team, has the resources necessary to build the purses, to attract better horses, and to attract more fans. And so, unfortunately, Churchill Downs was not committed to horse racing in Arlington Heights at Arlington Park, and I think that's the primary reason why it has not been as successful as it could have been under better leadership.
All right, so I threw the question out there earlier that the Bears might be using you as leverage, and you know it would also be good for Arlington Heights and for Churchill Downs to have the Bears in there and tussling and get those bids up, right? So this is kind of how it works: is these conversations happen, and you hope people bite from both ends of this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I can't control what the Bears' intentions are, but all we can do is make our best pitch and say we have a lot to offer and see what happens.
What in the past, what has your relationship been like with the Bears? I know you talked about the city and that they haven't formally, you know, they said, yeah, we got your letter, but, you know, that's it. What is your relationship with the McCaskies and Ted Phillips or anyone over there?
Well, I don't have any personal relationship with them. We do have A. McCaskey, that is a owner and operator of one of our establishments here in downtown Arlington Heights, the Arlington Ale House. That's Kevin McCaskey. And so I know he would be interested in furthering that opportunity and possibility as well. And so I'm a Bear fan myself, obviously. Went to my first Bear game at Wrigley Field back in the mid-1960s. And so would love to see them be part of our community.
Kevin McCaskey wants the Chicago Bears to become the Arlington Heights Bears?
I'm sure, you know, he's got a very successful business in Arlington Heights, and so he's dedicated to our community, and I know he would probably be interested in that.
You know he would probably be interested. Okay, I got you. Tom Hayes, the mayor of Arlington Heights, thank you very much for the time and a successful first call into the Score. Thank you, Tom.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, Tom. So now I'm imagining Kevin McCaskey like banging on the door of the board meeting saying, hey, guys, hey, come on. Think about what my bar could be. Think about what the ale house would
I imagine
be.
Kevin McCaskey thinking, Tom Hayes doesn't speak for me, family. Don't cut me out of the will.
But seriously, Danny.
But seriously.
80,000 seats, retractable roof. Now, I don't know that a Super Bowl would come to Chicago, and by Chicago, I mean the suburbs of Arlington Heights, and you'd have, as the texters point out, the media bitching to colossal levels to be in the suburbs of Chicago. But that's
normal, man. It's the Giants don't play in New York City.
The Cardinals don't play in Phoenix. Glendale is the model. It really, like Glendale and to another.
I think New York is the model.
New York is the model. I mean, there's a lot of them. SoFi Stadium in L.A. is potentially the model for two teams. Even though that's in the city, it's far, far away from downtown and where a lot of wealthy people live.
Well, I just mean like New York Giants, New York Jets play in New Jersey, right? And there's a ton of traffic and they're not really in New York, but they're called New York. and no one really thinks about it because it's just where it is. Soldier Field is wildly inconvenient.
Brutal.
It just is. It's a really tough stadium to get to, and it's small. I personally would like there to be more big events in this city, but I also, selfishly, I like the Bears being in the city.
Yeah.
I like, as someone who doesn't have to deal with that inconvenience very often, like, personally, I like the shots of the skyline and the lakefront.
Sure.
And, like, I think it presents a much cooler view nationally through television.
Hey.
The way that it currently is. Hey, but would I like a Super Bowl in Chicago? Of course.
I like sitting on my balcony and hearing the crowd over at Soldier Field.
But you guys are forgetting how cool B-roll of the Arlington Ale House would look. Right. Kevin McCaskey standing out front waving, saying, look what I did.
Can I tell you something? I just Googled Arlington Ale House, and my first story here is about how the mayor, Tom Hayes, had to take away the liquor license of the Arlington Ale House because they served a lot of underage patrons in January of 2020. So Kevin is
he's a great patron of our city. He wants to bring the Bears here. Oh, yeah, you know that for sure? Probably.
I would assume so.
I'd assume so. He does care about his bar business so much that 20-year-olds were going. That's hilarious.
I don't want to besmirch the McCaskies. I'm just reporting the news here.
Oh, listen.
It was so refreshing. They just report the news. There's no commentary. There's no opinion.
Wait, whatever. It sounds like a great bar. It sounds like it'd be a great time to go before a horse race. I want the Bears in Chicago personally, but yeah, that is... It's an interesting situation, and I would take a second team, by the way. Put a little pressure on the Bears to continue to win. Tell you how to win these Cubs tickets coming up. Lance Lynn in 25 minutes. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.